Good morning. I have to say congratulations to Australia for winning the series. It's the first time Zavis lost in 5 years, so the tide is turning. But beware, we won that World Cup Under 19 championship last month, so we're on the way back. Let's commit our time to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the living word. We thank you that we can read it and understand it. Help me to explain a way that is understandable. And by your Spirit, help us to put into practice, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, many years ago, we lived in a small Zululand town and worshipped at some surrounding Zululand churches. Now, we didn't send out people two by two. Thanks, Mark. We didn't send out people two by two, but we went to, a group of us used to go around to different homes and have a little church service. And we used to read the Bible, sing together, pray, and then explain the Bible, and then move on somewhere else. Now, one of the church ladies' husbands was on leave at the time, so he came along with us. And as we moved around from house to house over a couple of days, he heard the gospel several times. Then afterwards, he went back home, and we're not sure what, and went back to his work in the city. We don't know what happened to him in terms of his relationship with Jesus. But God did give him an opportunity to hear the gospel because a few weeks later he died in a tragic accident. But God had given him that opportunity to hear. Now, going out two by two may not be the best method in Australia for outreach, but God will use it to plant his seed in people's hearts and minds. And so as we come into this passage about sending out 72 others after the others, after the sending out the 12 of the previous chapter, we're going to look at just a bit of the background. Luke is very systematic in his teaching. He wants to give us the background to help us prepare for the future. And in Luke chapter 9, some important events took place to emphasize that Jesus is the Son of God and he's very special. In the opening chapter 9, verse 6 verses, he sent out 12 disciples. He told them, he gave them his authority to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick and drive out demons. And then in verse 20, he asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Some said this and some said that. And they said, well, what do you guys say? Who do you think I am? And Peter came out and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, the anointed one, set aside by God, sent out for special purpose. And God said to him, or Jesus said to him, it's good that you know that because God has revealed that to your heart. And then in verse 28, the Lord Jesus took them up, thanks Mark, up the Mount of Transfiguration, and we know that there was a special event that took place. Peter, James, and John went there to the Mount to pray, and at that time Jesus was transfigured with them, and there was a vision of two people with him, Moses and Elijah, and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, trust in him. So in their minds it was very clear who Jesus was, theoretically, in theory anyway. But when you come to verse, chapter 9, verse 46, the disciples didn't really get it because Jesus had taught after their declaration about his coming death and resurrection. And they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest amongst them after Jesus had gone. You see, they got the wrong message. You see, Jesus is the focus of the gospel, not people. They thought, well, who's going to be better than the other guy? And the fact is that Jesus is the important one, and we're going to hear that about that in these verses. We find in verses 57 to 62, Jesus taught about the cost of following him. There is a cost involved in being his disciples. We have to count the cost. And also, there are various people who made excuses in that passage. Now we come to the actual chapter 10. In the first four verses, we see a particular section where Jesus there talks about the commitment to Jesus, who is the king of the 72 workers who went out two by two. And it's interesting how it comes out. The first thing we find in chapter 10, verse 2, the Lord Jesus told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field and go. So we see some interesting things there. First of all, Jesus is saying there are a lot of people out there that need to hear the message about God. And I want you, 72, to go out and tell them. Of course, that's just the beginning. He wants all of his followers to go out and tell other people about the gospel. But he says the problem is there are very few workers. So what you need to do is to pray that God will raise up workers to go into his harvest field. It's God's work. And there are people out in the world that need to hear the gospel. And God uses people like you and me, who are his followers, to go out and share that gospel message. That's why he says go. It's good to bring people to church, but the Bible also says to go. Now, before he tells his ambassadors what to do, he tells them the first thing they've got to do is to pray. Now, it's interesting because prayer is something that everyone Christian can do. Not everyone has enough money to give to missions. Not everyone is gifted to go and share the gospel like our supported missionaries, for instance. But every Christian can pray for missionaries. That's why the missions committee said, choose one of our supported missionaries and pray for them on a regular basis. Everyone can do that. And you see, every Christian should have a desire for the gospel message to be got out into the world so people can be brought out of the darkness of their sin into the light of the gospel. That's what we're on about. And the fact is, as we pray, maybe God will say to you or one of your relatives, maybe I want you to go and share that gospel with people in foreign mission fields around the world, around the country. Then we find in the second section is that the commitment by the 72 to follow Jesus, being prepared to go as his advanced team. We're told that Jesus chose the 72 and sent them out two by two to selected places, to the places where he was going to go later. And they, in a sense, were going to check out who's going to be responsive and who wasn't going to be responsive to the message. The task wouldn't be an easy one. They'd face dangers, they'd face challenges, and they are people that we don't really know their names because they're not important. The important thing is the message of Jesus, the gospel. And before he tells them, that he says they're going to be like defenseless lambs amongst wolves who would deceive and couldn't be trusted. Now, wolves are very strong animals, they're very clever animals, and sheep are very defenseless. Why will they go out like defenseless lambs? Because they need to rely on their shepherd, and their shepherd is Jesus. The focus is, put your trust in Jesus and he will help you to the task that he calls you to do. They need to depend on Jesus and his word, and he's been gracious to those who have been nasty to them. They need to show love towards them. Now, the book of Acts shows that like Jesus, the early disciples faced persecution, and Christians face persecution around the world today on a terrible scale. If you read some of the magazines, what's going on in the world where people are anti-Christian is quite horrendous. And also, the message was to be urgent. Don't waste time speaking to people, asking how they are and all the rest, and catch up on the cricket score, but just get on with the job. And don't take many possessions, because you need to trust God to provide for your needs. Now, the third thing we find is the commitment to Jesus' words and obeying what he told them to do. See, the 72 had been following Jesus. They'd heard his teaching. They'd seen him perform miracles. They'd seen him heal people. They'd seen the lame walk, seen the blind given sight. He'd even raised people from the dead. And they not only believed this word to them, but they also obeyed what he told them to do. He said, now go out, and that's what they did. See, as born-again Christians, the Bible is our authority. It's important that we study the Bible in order to be able to do the job that Jesus wants us to do. You see, the Bible's authority is what we believe, not church customs and traditions. They're helpful, but it's the Bible's authority, and that's what we need to focus on. That's why we need to know it. It's important for Christians to know that Jesus' words during the desert temptation are just part of God's word. What does he say in the next thanks, Mark? What does he say in Matthew chapter 4? Jesus answered when he was tempted by the devil, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out from the mouth of God. In other words, the whole Bible is our authority. That's the important thing. In order to resist the temptations of the devil and to fulfill his work, we need to take our stand on the Bible, which is the authority. The Christians show they love Jesus by the extent to which they obey the Bible. John tells us that if we don't obey the word of God, then we're saying to Jesus we don't love him. We do love him, we need to show it by the fact that we not only read the Bible, but we actually put it into practice. If you work on verses 5 to 15, there's a message and there's two responses to their message. And the first message is the kingdom of God is near. It's mentioned in verse 9, it's mentioned in verse 11. Now Mark 1:15 tells us, after Jesus was put into prison, John was put into prison, Jesus went out into Galilee. He proclaimed the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. In other words, the focus of the message is on the kingdom of God has arrived. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is a place where God rules. It's a kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. There are no physical barriers to it. It's a relationship between people and Jesus and God through Jesus. And they're the ones that are the kingdom of God is near. You see, the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and Jesus wants to be the king of the over the lives of those who afford to follow him. If you come to near to God and you want to follow him, what you have to do is repent and believe. We know what repent means. Repent means a change of direction. Instead of serving yourself, you need to acknowledge that I'm sinful. I deserve God's judgment on my sin. I cannot save myself. I have to believe in Jesus because he died for me in my place as my substitute. When I make that decision to follow Jesus, I turn my back and change the direction of serving self to start to serve God. And I put my trust in God. And so every person who wants to become a member of God's kingdom, to become part of God's family, to go to heaven when they die, they need to repent and believe the good news. Otherwise, the Bible says it won't happen. See, God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and Jesus wants to be king in your life if you're a believer. And that means submitting to his authority. Now, there's always two responses to that Christian message, and there'll always be two responses, either yes or no. And we find here in verses 5 through to 9, we see acceptance. What will happen if people respond positively to the message of those 72? When they enter a house, they say, peace be to this house. And if they accept them, then they stay in that house. They don't move around. They eat whatever is given before them because they deserve their wages, because they're going about God's business. And when they come to a town and they're welcomed, and the town provides them the hospitality, then what they are to do is to heal the sick with the authority of Jesus, to tell them the kingdom of God is near. And then everyone needs to repent and believe the good news, otherwise they will not become a member of God's kingdom. And that's very clear. There's a second response, and that's rejection, verses 10 through to 15. When they enter a town and are not welcomed, they must go out in the streets and make it very clear the kingdom of God is near, but they must warn about the consequences if you refuse to accept what they say. And the consequences are very dire. You see, it emphasizes by rejecting, it shows the hardness of their hearts in rebellion against God, the greatness of their sin, resulting in those towns being judged very harshly like Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened to them in Genesis? You see, the word of God is very clear. We need to repent and believe and accept the news, otherwise we're going to be judged. And many people say, well, I'll take my chances because I live a really good life. I'm afraid your chances are zilch, nothing. There's only one way, and that's through putting your trust in Jesus. It's interesting here, it says in verse 16, the privilege given to the 72 to be faithful ambassadors of both God the Father and the Son. Jesus wanted the 72 to understand who he was. They needed to be subject to his authority, and they needed to fulfill his plan. And I've got in the notes there, verse 16, it says, he who listens to you listens to me, says Jesus. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now the 72 were to regard as Christ's messengers and ambassadors to a sinful world. As long as they do their work faithfully and truthfully, they deserve honor and respect. But unfortunately, that's not shown to many Christian people in the world today, particularly those in the Middle East and other countries. Those who reject the 72 in fact rejecting Jesus and the gospel message, and they will face judgment. And the Bible makes it very clear what that judgment will be. It says that there's no other way to God except through Jesus. If we want to know God, the creator of the world, the God of the Bible, We need to believe in Jesus. If we don't believe in Jesus, we cannot believe in God the Father. So all those world religions out there who reject Jesus as being the Son of God will never get anyone to heaven, no matter who they are, no matter how big they are, small they are, because the only way to get to heaven is through putting your trust in Jesus, and then you'll come to know God the Father through Jesus. That's what the Bible says very clearly. Then we move on to verses 17 to 22. It talks about being in a right relationship with God is more important than the work we do for God. Now, God prepares the way to enable Christians to do his work. You see, as a Christian, you receive a gift from God or gifts from God. That is a gift. So you don't have any grounds for boasting about, oh, I'm good at this or that. No. If it's a gift, it's a gift, and God wants you to use it in his service to bring glory to him. And you see, the 72 were very excited in verse 17 and proud because even the demons submitted to them in the name of Jesus. And they got all excited. And what did Jesus say to them? He said, well, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, who are these snakes and scorpions? Well, we know that Satan's identified with snakes because he was the one that went to the serpent in the Garden of Eden when sin entered the world. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. And he will try and deceive people who go out in Jesus' name. But what Jesus is saying, in fact, that before they went out, he actually prepared the way for them. So when they went out, these people didn't have authority because Jesus had greater authority than they did, these evil forces. You see, when a person gets born again by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in his heart and life to live in and change their hearts of all who repent and believe so they can serve God. Instead of serving self, you're now serving God in the world. And you have a responsibility as I do. And the fact is we cannot boast at all because it's a gift from God. By grace are we saved through faith. This is not of yourself, it's a gift from God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast. See, they were proud because the demons are subject to them. Jesus reminds them, now look, the only reason the demons are submitted to you is because I gave you authority over them. It's my work, not your work. And we need to be reminded that constantly. God prepares works for us to do, we are told in Philippians. There's a lady called Mercy Buttelezi. She was a devout church goer. She went to church in the rural area of Zuland. She went to church and told her, what you need to do is to be baptized, be confirmed, and come to the Lord's Supper, and then try as hard as you can to be a Christian in your own strength. And she was a very devout lady. She used to go to all the groups in the church, very committed, but trying to be a Christian by herself in her own strength. Then she came to Leondale, where we were. She came to our church. There's a Christianity Explained course. She did the course. At the end of it, there's an evaluation that says, you know, where do you stand as a Christian? Were you a Christian? Weren't you a Christian? She said, I thought I was a Christian, but I found out I'm not because I hadn't repented and believed. Now I have. I've accepted Jesus into my life, and God is changing me. She stayed for a few more weeks, and she was told how to pray and read the Bible and everything, and then she went back home. We never heard from her again, but she went back a changed person because Jesus had spent all his life preparing her for that time she was exposed to the gospel, and unfortunately the church didn't teach it. He provided that opportunity for her. Jesus always goes ahead of us to prepare the way when we share our faith. Now verses 20 and 22, the greatest gift and joy God gives to every Christian is to be a true child of God. It says here in verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So what Jesus is saying is the greatest gift any Christian can receive is actually to be a child of God. Come into personal relationship with the living God through repenting and believing and putting your trust in Jesus. See, God is more concerned about your being his child than the work you do for him. Being is more important than doing. Doing is important, but being is much more important. You see, that God the Father and God the Son work together to reveal the gospel truth to those who can become Christians. It's a mystery. We don't know how it works. One person in the family believes, the other one doesn't. We have no idea why. That's God's grace. He chooses to do those things. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, now how they choose, we know whom no human knows. But what does Jesus say in verse 22? He says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. So if you've repented and believed, you've actually become a child of God because Jesus has chosen you. He's chosen you for a purpose, to be his servant, to be committed to him, to spread his gospel. That's the work that Jesus gives you to do. It's a big privilege to be a child of God, the greatest privilege in the world. But it also brings a responsibility to fulfill the purposes God has for you in your life as a Christian to obey him. Now, often God doesn't want us to know what impact our faith sharing has on anybody because we might think it was because of us. So often God conceals that, but our job is to just share it. We were in a church, we left there in 2002. There was a guy called C. Paul. Now, his wife came to church with their three sons. He didn't come. He came occasionally. He came to men's breakfast. He came to a couple of church services. He was an abuser of his children, abuser of his wife. He used to drink a lot, and he was a pretty nasty character. He was a nice guy, but he was nasty anyway. And then we left, and we didn't see him again. And then this year, Anne's on Facebook. She tried to contact him, and she found that she tried several people men's ears until she got this one. And he started by saying, "Hallelujah, brother and sister." He said, "You know, after you left, wherever you're in Leondale, God did an amazing thing in my life. He changed me in a dramatic way. He says I was a drunkard. I was an arrogant atheist. Now I'm an ordained pastor. I've done two theology degrees. I'm doing a master's degree. God changed me from a Saul into a Paul." God does the work. He might use us to say this or that, but the important thing to recommend is that we need to go about fulfilling the job that God has given us to do. So Jesus shows the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, when they're debating who is the greatest, he says, look, you missed the point. The focus of the Christian gospel is Jesus, not people. He uses people, but he's the focus. And Paul says, look, in Corinth, I planted the seed. Apollo watered it. But it's God that gives the increase. We're just servants. We're nothing. It's God that's the focus. So what does this message tell us? It tells us God's plan for every Christian is to be committed to, first of all, to pray to the Lord of harvest to raise up workers to serve him. And that might include you. Secondly, give Lord Jesus the first place in your life before any other thing, any other person. The third thing we need to be committed to is to read his word each day and to obey its teaching, because God wants to use us to see that people can see that we are different. And the fourth thing we need to be committed to is the spreading of the gospel. And that's a responsibility every one of us has. But remember, it's God the Holy Spirit who goes ahead and prepares the way. Whatever we achieve in God's name is because of God's work and God's strength and God's ability, not our own. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these thoughts from your word. We pray that you'll help us to put them into practice, enabled by your Spirit. For Jesus' sake, amen.